Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock. This podcast is sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Now more than ever, our online reliance has been rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, we keep in touch with our loved ones, we even watch podcasts like The Brew. And we like to think our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, so does our need for proper security. Yeah, Surfshark is a VPN service that protects your information by encrypting all the data that you send through the internet, keeping anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great reason to use a VPN is because content from different streaming services don't want you to watch everything in every different country. It's a disgrace. There's certain shows for America, certain shows for Canada, certain shows for Mexico, Venezuela, UK, Netherlands. How about you have access to all of them and get access to everything, whether that's Netflix, Amazon Prime, or even football highlights on Twitter? And with Surfshark, you can solve that problem by simply changing your location. Also, if you do go on abroad on holiday and you're in Tenerife and you're in Falaraki, you still want to watch BBC iPlayer, don't you? You still want to watch Premier League football? Change your location back to the UK while you're gone to get access to all of your home comforts. And currently, Surfshark are bringing you genuinely one of the most ridiculously good deals I've ever heard. Use the link in the description and use code PADDOCK, as you can see on the screen there, code PADDOCK. You will get, wait for this, 85% off, which means for something like a couple of quid a month, you can be fully protected. Plus, you get 3 months for free, and Surfshark also offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. So use the link in the description, promo code PADDOCK, as you can see there, for, again, let me just listen to this, 85% off, 3 months for free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Jay here from Stretford Paddock. This is The Brew, and there's good news, and there's even better news. The good news is Steve's not here, he's in Qatar. And the even better news is Jim from the Slow Readers Club is back as well.
Hi, mate, you're all
so
right.
So double whammy, keeping up the Mancunian, just in case anyone was worried that we were going to have a lack of Mancunians on this podcast.
I mean,
it is
not
a bit of a man cough, but don't worry about it, because you're an honorary man, can't you, Mr. Joe Smith?
A man cough.
A man cough.
Mm. You'd
where
love
are you
a
from,
man
Joe?
Cough,
you don't
like a man flu?
Yeah.
Where am I from? Yeah. I'm from Worksop.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Nottinghamshire.
Nottinghamshire,
yeah.
Right.
But sort of on the border of Yorkshire, Derbyshire, Nottinghamshire.
Right.
That little
triangle. How long have you lived in the ends now?
Oh, you know, sort of a quarter of a 21 years or so.
So you've lived here for 5 years?
7 years.
7 years? You lived in Manchester?
Oh, sorry, a third of 21 years, sorry.
Right.
I don't know why I said it the other way.
So you've lived in Manchester 7 years?
Yeah.
That's decent, that.
Yeah.
Whereabouts
yeah.
in Manchester have you lived?
Your Broughtons.
Come on.
Yeah.
I love this.
You know, your Deansgates, your Salford Keysers, your Ancoatses, your Northern Quarters, your Stockports.
Right, okay.
So, you moved every year?
Yeah.
Because you're up to six there and you've only been here.
Actually, I think I might have lived here 8 years. I might
you
have
like
it, years.
The nightmare tenant?
Yeah, and I'm moving to Levinshulme next year as
Levy. He's got Levinshulme. That's proper frontline Mancunian, that. You've done well there.
Thank you. What about you? Where have you lived in that time?
That's a good point. Not in that time, but during my life, I've lived in Stretford Eccles, Earlham, Ermston, Partington. I lived in Hume for a bit when I got chucked out of my mum's.
Nice.
You're a proper, like, south-west Manchester
South
guy,
Manchester's my sort of
yeah,
forte.
Yeah, but some of this is...
I have a nosebleed if I go north Manchester.
Some of it's pretty west, Manchester. Though. Like Trafford and Trafford. Eccles is literally
Eccles is where
west
now.
Manchester, isn't it?
Yeah. Where you're north.
Yeah, so Ancoats.
Yeah.
You know, mine's limited. So Ancoats when it was shit.
About to say, because you've lived Ancoats when it's all right, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was slightly shitter for me being there, but other than that, it was pretty nice. Yeah,
exactly.
Then it was, so Ancoats, then Failsworth. This is with my mum and dad when they moved us up out of the ghetto.
Yeah.
And then Moston, and then New Moston. New Moston is Moston. My mate always says it, and he's right. It's Moston with a bit more grass.
Ooh,
that's it.
What? I don't know if we said this last time you were on, Jim, but when I used to be a reporter in Manchester for Q103, I had a list of a few towns where if there was something going down and they sent you there, you'd be like, oh no. And I'm not being honest, Boston was one. Because I have been threatened there, knocking on doors. Yeah, I remember once knocking on the door in Boston, there'd been a shooting. And
you know, straight away that's wrong.
Yeah, there's been a shooting,
so I'll knock on some.
He said, like, go down there and get a reaction. I know it's horrible. You like the prophet of doom. I was just there from Q103. There's been a shooting, and this lad answered the door, and I was like, I am for Q103, and he started chatting to me, and then I just heard this woman's voice. Who the fuck's that? And he went, it's Q103, and she just went, tell him to fuck off, right?
Salt of the earth.
Yeah. So anyway, 10 minutes later, I was doing a voice recording or whatever down the road. And this car pulls up, and it's this lad, and it must have been the woman, his mum. Was that you knocking on my door before?
No.
And I was like, yeah. And she went, fucking wait until the lads get home. I thought, what the hell's that mean? What's that?
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, don't want to give us a quick interview, do you? Like, she was gone. I was like, yeah, I'm getting out of here anyway.
So you didn't wait till the lads got home?
No, they'd have fucking got off.
That's good, though. They're protecting the mum at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You've got to put a positive spin on it.
That's one way of looking at it.
They're looking after the family.
I don't think she needed protecting.
Yeah.
No. She'd have battered me, but no.
There's been a shooting and then someone's knocking at your door.
Yeah.
You know, if she's ringing the kids up to come round and sort him out, it's fair play to her.
Yeah, you can't argue with that.
You know,
that's what's wrong with Manchester now. There's not enough of that community spirit that you have back then in them days.
Community spirit.
Community service. You've got a new album coming out in February.
February the 24th. But we've announced it. This is just a piece of card. This is what the album's going to look like.
Nice.
We have a single there. There's your camera.
There we go. That one there, right.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Knowledge, Freedom, Power. Fucking hell, I can't work that out. But we announced it yesterday. And it's one of the tunes. We've got a tune called Knowledge, Freedom, Power on it. And that's out now. If you want to go and find it on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you get your tunes from.
Have we got some links in the description? Yeah. Go and have a look in the description. There's some links in there, and you can check out the new tune. And also, are we up for pre-order yet? Can people start?
Yeah, you can pre-order now. Yeah, it's out now. But obviously, it won't be physically out there in the world until the 24th of February. But you can pre-order it now. Yeah.
I love this as well, vinyl, man. Vinyl's back now, isn't
it? Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean? Do you remember when vinyl just went away for about a decade?
Yeah.
And, like, no one had it. And it was like, vinyl, what you
Everyone
on about?
Does vinyl now.
Well better, innit?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think we've done all right here, actually. We've done, what have we done? How many minutes have we done?
Seven.
We've done 7 minutes without talking about the R word, which is pretty good going for this channel recently.
Ragnick.
Ralph Ragnick.
Rotterdam.
Yes, thank you, Rotterdam. We haven't spoken about Rotterdam. Where were you in 1991 when the Cup Winners Cup final? Where did you watch it?
I watched it from... It was a stunning view from one of my mother's eggs that I was in at the time. Well, I was yet to be fertilised, Jay.
So you didn't watch it?
I know, I watched it.
Do you know what?
I watched it through a sort of a
You're all the same. Oh, I didn't watch it because I wasn't born. What sort of an excuse is that?
Not a proper fan.
Call yourself it's not, is it? Hey, do you think I used that excuse when I didn't watch the 1909?
Yeah, when I didn't watch the Big Bang. What were you?
Do you think I didn't get involved?
Yeah.
Disgust me. What's your favourite moment from the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup final?
Chucky's goals. Probably all
got Chucky on the brain because we're doing an event soon with him, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. What's that?
We're doing an event in Dublin. We're doing a live event. And we're very excited and a bit nervous because it's our first live event as a channel. And it's going to be me, Joe, Steve, Adam McCullough, and Brian McClare's joining us as well. Nice. In Dublin, 30th of December. So go and check out the link in the description for that. But yeah, it's going to be all right, isn't it? Mm. Do you know what I mean? So come down and support us if you can. The Ronaldo thing, me and Joe, right? Jim, I'm going to turn to you because me and Joe spoke about this for about a total of 14 hours in the last 3 days, haven't we? Yeah. It's just been constant. And when you think there's, you know, it's all done, there's another snippet of the interview or there's a reaction or there's some other drama going on. Just go back to the start of it. When you first saw that there was this interview coming out and you first saw the first clip of it, what did you make of it all?
Just... I just thought, for fuck's sake. You don't need it, do you? That's literally what I thought straight away. But then when you try and... Look, I've not really watched the full... both of the interviews because I can't stand Piers Morgan. And
thank you.
It does me fucking nothing. But anyway, so I've seen snippets of what he said and I've obviously got the main gist because it's everywhere. You can't fucking avoid it, can you? You don't have to watch the video to know what's been said on there. But, I watched it and I thought... He wants out, you know what I mean? He's had enough. Because you wouldn't do that. And it was the timing of it, so he'd already recorded it, and then it come out straight after, you know, our last game before the World Cup, and he knows he's going to be away for so many weeks. But some of the things he was saying, you know, I fucking agree with. But I don't like him digging the manager out a bit like that. I'm not into that, man. Because I like Ten Hag. I like his fucking attitude and the buzz off him saying please at the end of every interview as well. But, what he says about the Glazers and the facilities and all that. And like fans have been saying it for years about Old Trafford, when it rains, it fucking leaks and everything like that. All that sort of shit. I'm all for it. I'm all for someone calling that out. But if he would have done all that and maybe not dug the manager out, then I think that's fucking win-win. You know what I mean? I'm fair play to him, but...
I what do you reckon? And do get involved in the chat and the comments, obviously. Let us know your thoughts if you've not had enough of sharing your thoughts about this already. You were saying something similar today, weren't you? I mean, it's this Ten Hag thing that I think seems so upset most United fans. Because like you were saying, listen, no one's going to criticise anyone for slagging off the Glazers. We all fucking hate them. Mm. But the Ten Hag thing, I'm with you, it just seems unnecessary.
That is the word. That's the bit where you can't come back from that. Yeah. Like you can, like you said, we'll all be happy for you to talk about the Glazers and all that, and I'm sure hopefully he will continue to do it. But when you bring Ten Hag in, it makes everyone go, oh yeah, the reason he's doing this interview is because he's annoyed he's not playing, not because he actually cares he does care about the Glazers and the facilities and all that, which I'm sure he does because that's still his career and his chance of being successful being hurt by them. But this whole thing looks like sour grapes, doesn't it? Yeah. Like he's gone, I'm not very good anymore, or I'm not playing very well because the manager's not picking me. I don't have the faith of the manager, so let me just go out there and take the piss out of him. Because really, if he'd have left that, like you said, it would be a great interview. Mm. We'd all be sat here, and he might
it'd
still
be a legendary interview.
Yeah, easily the biggest name in the squad. Going, the Glazers don't care.
But again, because he's calling his ex-teammates rats, and he's saying that he's not friends with Gary Neville and Wayne Rooney and all that. Like, so, it just comes across as like mardy arsed. It doesn't feel like a person who's in control of all of their emotions. It feels like someone that's letting their emotions get the better of them, and that just so happens to be, basically, if you think about it, really what he's done is he's just had a go at everything about United. The only thing about Manchester United he didn't take the piss out of was Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
But because he's playing him every week.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, he's had a go at Ten Hag. He's had a go at some of his current teammates. He's had a go at his former manager, his current manager, the owners, the facilities, the stadium, the training ground, the ethos. He's had a go at everything. And he just so happens to have had a go at the Glazers. But really, I think the point of this was to be mad at his current situation, not because, you know, the swimming pool's the same as it was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Straight away, though, you touched on it there, Jim, and I'm with you. You're on to a bad start when it's Piers Morgan doing
fact.
It. That turns off everyone straight away. Like, why are you doing it with that?
He could have just done a video on his phone and stuck it on his Instagram.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? The amount of followers he's got.
Yeah. Or got, you know, maybe got an ex-player who he's still friendly with. He gets on with Rio, doesn't he, I think? Or someone like that.
Gone
do you know what I mean?
Channels.
Like, there's other options than fucking Piers Morgan. And then, like, even some of the things that he said that you kind of agree with, I feel are necessary. The Glazer stuff, I get all that. But, like, the facilities aren't good enough. And again, when I first saw that, I thought, okay, fair enough. But then apparently Ten Hag's dealt with that already.
He's in the process of dealing with it.
So that's almost a moot point, because Ten Hag has said, like, he agrees with him, these facilities are terrible or whatever. He's ordered that they be.
Van Gaal said the same, didn't he, when he started, and he's changed it since, so it's, everything isn't the same.
Van Gaal brought a few new things in as well, didn't he? I think he brought in floodlights at Carrington.
Yeah.
I think it was under Van Gaal that we went to the sort of like composite hybrid AstroTurf and real grass at Old Trafford as well.
Didn't we have cameras with Van Gaal?
Van Gaal, cameras as well.
Didn't Jose rip him out on his first day?
Yeah, something like that.
Because that's another issue. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, the facility's not being good enough. I understand. Like, it sounds trivial, tiling's in a swimming pool, but I get that. Yeah. You think we have Manchester United, we're not Earl and Baths where you go, oh, that's the same tile as my dad used to use. Yeah. Like that, it should be better, but then it's being dealt with.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Glazers thing on with him, then it was like a bit of a slide dig. You mentioned there, Joe, about he's digged out his teammates. And people go, well, how has he dug out his teammates? Well, when he says, like, when he was asked, you know, which young players do you rate or do you think are listening to you or do you what? And he named, like, Dalot. And that was almost it.
He said, basically, when I was a young player, I learned from the likes of Keane and Van Nistelrooy and Scholes and Ferdinand. It surprises me that current players don't want to do that or something to that effect.
Yeah,
basically saying the youngsters don't want to learn from me. Which again, maybe he's right, but it's such a... I mean, it might as well be written, it's so strict and unwritten rule in football. It might as well be, because but that you don't slag off your current teammates and your current manager.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything else is fair game. But that everyone knows that. In the same way that a manager typically doesn't come out and pinpoint specific players and say, oh, shit, they were in a match. Current players don't do that about their teammates or about the manager. So it's not like he doesn't know that. It's not like, well, you know.
But he's maybe doing it because he knows he's not going to be a current player.
Yeah, that's
his thing. He's left.
Do you see any way he plays for Manchester United again after this?
Bearing in mind that United are currently looking at ways to sack him.
Yeah.
As we speak, we'll
get into that in a minute, the options that are being reported. But is there any chance, do you think?
No, I just can't see it. It'd be daft, wouldn't it? It'd be fucking stupid. And I don't mean it'd be stupid, like, it should be out, you know, I'm one of these fans, let's fucking march him out of Manchester or whatever. It's just, for both parties, it's sort of obvious that Ten Hag, you know, he's trying to plan for the future, and you can't do it. And as good as Ronaldo is, don't get me wrong, he's fucking top. But you can't do that with someone who's 37 years old, and especially when you want all your team working as a team, when Ronaldo is so selfish on the pitch, really. You know, he's a team player, but he just wants to fucking score goals. You know, he wants to break records. You can see it, and he said it in interviews openly. So the manager doesn't really see him in his future plans. Ronaldo wants to play, and the manager's not playing him. So both parties might get what they want in the end. He might be able to leave and then go and play for someone else and maybe get a Champions League team where he can add to a few more goals because he's conscious of Messi catching him up.
Mm.
And then United can just crack on without him. Because every interview I've seen Ten Hag get asked, we could beat a fucking team 10-0, and he'll get asked about Ronaldo, and it must be doing his head in. You know, just because he's probably thinking, I want the other players to get a bit of fucking the limelight, whatever, but...
It's true. It's a good point, that, because... And the weird thing is, Darren Lewis, I think, was on... I can't remember what channel he was on. Darren Lewis, he writes for the Mirror. I love Darren Lewis. He's a good guy. And he was saying that, you know, if you're watching this, and everyone is watching this, and you're another club, Ronaldo's almost making you not want him. Because you're looking at it going, do I want to bring that into my dressing room? Because, you know, he's obviously upset. He's slagging everyone off.
Yeah.
He's being very critical of everything about the club. And you're looking at it, you're going, his numbers this season ain't great. You know, I think 3 goals, one in the Premier League, 2 in the Europa League. He's played over 1,000 minutes. I know he's not had as many starts as he'd like, but he has started games.
Yeah.
He has started quite, you know, I think he started some like 8 games or something. So, you know, for a player of his quality, you know, 2 of his 3 goals have come against Sheriff.
And also, not to be, you know, to sort of add insult to injury, but in those games when he's not scoring, he's not a particularly productive player when he's not scoring goals, is he? He's not someone that, like Bruno, can do loads in a game but not score. Eriksen the same.
Yeah.
But Ronaldo's not really like that, is he?
No, he's
not really in the game until he's scoring.
You look at, And that, like, Rashford has his faults and he should score more goals the amount of chance he gets. But for the, say, the Spurs game where he didn't score, he was involved.
And he helped apply so much pressure against Spurs for the whole game.
That game was fantastic. And he played his part in that game. And yes, he should have scored, but he played his part, like you said, Joe. But sometimes with Ronnie, you're not seeing that. And also, with other players, you know, Martial, Rashford or whoever, they're 20-odd.
Yeah.
When you're 37... turning 38 in February. Do you know what I mean? He's 37 till he's 38. You know, you're not going to age like fine wine. And he said something on his interview where he's like, it's not like I don't know how to score goals anymore. I'm not disputing that, but physically, any 37-year-old at the highest level doesn't really happen, does it? And it's not like, you know, it doesn't matter how dedicated you are, how, you know, the fact you don't drink alcohol or, you know, you don't eat fatty foods. Yeah. You know, the aging process, and I just feel like, as well, the Premier League is probably the toughest league, I think, in the world for a striker that age to play in.
Yeah.
I think if he went
more
to...
more competition off the other teams, isn't it? It's
not as easy as if he went to Serie A or La Liga or, you know, the French league or wherever, I'm not saying he'd smash it and score 30 goals or whatever, but I think he'd find it easier than this league.
Yeah.
I think this league is the hardest and the quickest.
Yeah.
What are the comments saying, bro? And then we'll get into some more reaction and stuff.
Yeah, we've got a couple of super chats. So CM says Sir Alex Ferguson will not forgive him. I bet he will.
Think Fergie's asked.
No. I mean, Verma says, you know, I haven't given a damn about Ten Hag. Has said any in any of his press conferences apart from Martial is back. That's why I like Ten Hag. There you go. Sam Z says, CR7 lacks self-consciousness and self-reflection. The interview wouldn't be that bad 10 years ago, but with his powers waning, he seems delusional. Rico says, send him packing and don't look back. See you, CR7. And Thomas Simpson says, let's not mourn Ronaldo. He's been absolutely tossed this season and made the team worse. Sad ending, but good riddance. Crucial, we replace him properly. Osimhen,
That is a good question, Mark. We'll get into that in a minute about who we could replace him with. Just want to ask you something, Jim, right? It's 2025, yeah?
Yeah, go on.
Ronaldo returns to Old Trafford, playing for Sporting Lisbon in the Champions League quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you give him a standing ovation? Do you clap him? Do you do him?
If the Glazers are fucked off, then yeah.
No pressure there, Ronnie.
But my point is, we discussed this.
Has this tarnished his legacy in your eyes?
No, at the end of the day, Roy Keane did the same, but that just wasn't broadcast. But to be fair, with Roy Keane, when I say did the same, is you know, the infamous fucking video that no one's really saw.
The MUTV one.
It was with MUTV. It wasn't with Piers Morgan, so that's better. But Roy Keane was apparently digging out a lot of players about he wasn't happy with their attitude and everything. But I fucking love him.
Yeah.
I love him. But to be fair, I love Roy Keane more than I love Ronaldo. Just fucking, like, Ronaldo's a better player. But as a sort of a person and what he brought to the club,
yeah,
I think Keane brought more.
No, I agree.
So, but I would clap him if he's coming back to if you come back to playing for fucking Liverpool or City.
He'd
get it with both barrels. But going back to what you said before, like what teams would take him on now he's done all this and burnt his bridges with United. The fact he's done all that, his agent's probably already got him lined up somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't burn all them bridges and then go, can I come and join your football club?
Maybe, right. I just wonder whether that club is the calibre of somewhere you'd expect Ronaldo to be going, because they made a big deal, didn't they, about this Saudi Arabian club coming in for him for $300 million, dollars, whatever it is, or euros. And you think, and he's turned it down, and it's a lot of money and all that, but you think, if you still think you're a top player at the top level, no disrespect to the Saudi Arabian league, but that's nowhere near the top level. So, you know, you're not going to want to go there when you've only probably got another 18 months playing at the sort of any sort of decent or very top level and playing, you know, in a league that's well below that. And I'm just wondering who was out there, because you remember in the summer when he made it clear he wanted to move on, I think there was Chelsea.
Yeah.
There was maybe a little bit of Napoli and Atletico, but not concrete. Bayern Munich have been muted, but I think Oliver Kahn poured some water on that one. There's not been many who've been like, we want him, we're ready to pay his wages or whatever.
Yeah.
It's always been like, oh, we might be interested in him.
But he's too expensive for us.
Maybe his wages will change now, though.
That's the point.
Because maybe he's worried about his goal scoring legacy, his numbers, and he wants to try and get as many more top level goals as he can before he calls it a day.
I think part of him thinks, though, if you're thinking as like an agent and as a player,
yeah,
the more money you're on, the greater the likelihood the manager will play you, even if you're not playing well.
Yeah.
If he signs somewhere for 150 grand a week, you can leave him on the bench. Whereas if he signs for 500, there's a lot more pressure to play him week in, week out. And I wonder whether he thinks, if I sort of declare myself an asset only worth 100 grand a week, then all of a sudden I've got the same power as, you know, Icardi or, you know, a sub basically for PSG or whoever he goes to, a big club. I think in his head, or maybe in everyone's head, if he, the fact that he's on 500 grand a week is probably one of the reasons he's still playing for United. Because otherwise, I don't see why we would start him. Do you know what I mean? I think it's his name and his wages is one of the big reasons he's even getting a game at all.
It's weird because he was quite complimentary to Ole. Well, very complimentary to Ole. But there was the Everton game, wasn't there, where Ole dropped him, do you remember?
Yeah.
And Martial started. And do you remember there was the bit, he was obviously pissed off.
Yeah.
And then there was a thing, there was a footage of Fergie speaking to the UFC fighter, is it Khabib?
Yeah.
Where he was saying, like, oh, you play
yeah,
your
best players.
Yeah. And it, that, I think Maka was on the overlap, McCullough, who's on this channel. And I think he said at the time, he felt like that was a big moment that in all his time at United. Like, it felt like, you know, Sevilla under Jose.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you think, this could be the beginning of something going wrong here. Mm. And I had that same feeling. I remember after the game, I was chatting with my mates and like, I don't think this is going to work out with Ole, you know. Yeah. And I'd always been quite pro Ole and believed in what he was doing. And I thought, this looks like it's all going a bit wrong.
Feels like it's going the wrong way.
This feels like one of those, you know, like David Moyes' Fulham game.
Yeah.
One of those games where you go, you know, Van Gaal against Norwich, whatever, where you go, this ain't going to have an happy ending. And it felt like that. And, it, you know, obviously not long after that, we got battered 5-0 off Liverpool, which obviously was fucking, you know, that was the end of that. But, yeah, I feel like even though he was complimentary to Ole, there was a time when he weren't happy with him. Because he dropped him for one game.
Yeah, and he was storming about everyone.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he was obviously fuming and that didn't happen again.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there isn't that level of sort of compromise or self-awareness. It's just literally, if you've got Ronaldo, it's the fucking Ronaldo show.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's not whether you
might go to another club though and say, pay me 100 grand a week, but I play.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And then they'll go, right, yeah.
There's
and,
plenty
and
of,
then
sorry.
That's it. So, you know, like you were saying, if you've been giving him £500,000 a week, you've got to play him for that.
Yeah.
But if he goes to another club and he gets the same money as Icardi or whoever it is, he could have that with his agent and say, get me 100 grand a week, but get me guaranteed game time and I'll take it.
I think just looking at some of the Champions League clubs, and so here's some of the clubs in the group stages from this year, obviously not guaranteed to be there next year, but teams of this calibre that I think he would definitely get a game for.
Okay.
I'm not going to go down to Rangers because he's not going to go to a team of... I don't think Rangers
get battered A1 or whatever.
But someone like...
Fucking no chance.
Sporting Lisbon, Bayer Leverkusen... Maybe not Atletico because of, you know, the Real Madrid thing, but I wouldn't put it past him. I think he'd probably still get a game for Atletico.
At one point, they looked like they were in for him, didn't they?
Yeah,
and then someone again from their camp poured water on that. I think it was the director said, we don't want him.
Because they don't have a prolific goal scorer in the squad at the minute. They've got Felix, who they're trying to play him as a nine, but he's not quite there.
Do you think it matters the relationship he's had with the Atletico fans? Because
I think it does matter, but also I think he's getting...
Animosity there, isn't there?
Yeah. I think he's getting to the point where it matters less and less. If they came in for him, I think he would be willing to go. He was going to go to City, for fuck's sake.
I think if they came in for him, but yeah. I don't think they would.
No, maybe
I'll be honest
not.
With you. And I also think, I know it's a bit unfair, but I don't think he put himself in a shot window against them last season.
No, he wasn't great, was he?
I think he'd want to play for the club who's in the Champions League now.
Maybe.
Still.
Yeah.
Because it's at least two more games,
Frankfurt.
Isn't it? To get some numbers up there.
There might be someone who's willing to do that.
RB Leipzig, Dortmund. These are all through to the next round. Benfica, obviously, probably not going to happen because of sporting connections. Paris Saint-Germain, don't know if they'd have him, don't know if he'd play, but, you know, they're some of the clubs, Club Bruges, that have qualified.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I feel like if Ronnie had, even if he'd scored a couple more goals in the Premier League this season,
be fine.
I think someone, either United would be like, come on, or a club would be like, he's still got it.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's sort of like, not really... got going this season, and that's when people think, is he done? And it's like, you know, I think Piers Morgan was trying to push that thing up, maybe PSG or, you know, you and Messi or whatever, but I don't think they're coming for him. I just feel like people look at
him. I think it's got to the point now, like with everything, and all football, it's a fucking business, isn't it, at the end of the day. And he's got, how many Instagram followers has he got? Like 100 and something million?
400 and something million.
So that's fucking ridiculous. So he's the most followed person on Instagram. So... everything gets measured now on your social media numbers. You'll know this better than me. How many subscribers you've got, how many followers you've got, how many people you can fucking connect with.
Yeah.
And it's in music as well. We'd also, like nowadays, you see bands don't get signed off a tune anymore. They might not get signed off playing a live gig. If they do, they're fucking lucky. Now, if you've got a tune out there and a million people have seen it on YouTube and it's gone viral, you'll fucking get a record deal out of it. Because that's how shit works now, because they look at it and go, they've already got a captive audience, we'll cash in on that. And even though it's fucking Ronaldo and it sounds ridiculous and it's football, but he's got 500 million fucking people who follow him. That fucking, that power he's got will get him a fucking club. It sounds daft, doesn't it?
Because
there might be a club out there who go, oh, we're shit on, you know, not we're shit on social media, but do you know what I mean? We're not, people don't see us as a big club, blah, blah, blah. Let's get him in just to fucking raise our brand.
And also, because next thing you know, you can now go to potential sponsors and brands.
Exactly.
And say, and in the last 12 months, we've had X amount of impressions on Twitter. We can get your brand in front of X many eyes. And if you've got Ronaldo there, especially someone like Sporting, who are a big club, obviously, but how many followers has Sporting Lisbon got? Let me have a look.
It's a good point because, you know, even when he came to United, apparently, he put 100 odd million on the value of the club. Broke the record of shirt sales in a day. Like, there was more shirt sales that day than there's ever been in any club's history.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So he obviously brought in a load of revenue. And like you're saying, and this is United, who've already got a massive following.
Yeah.
You go to somewhere like, no disrespect to them, sorry, go and put
Sporting, who have got 1.3 million followers on Instagram. He's got 497
That's
million.
That's fucking ridiculous.
You're telling me they wouldn't want, like you're saying, a sponsor?
To be fair, though, of his 497 million, about 12 of them are bots.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know, that's a good point. So they're not buying anything.
Yeah,
but Sporting Lisbon, like you said, can now say, you know, we're probably going to be able to get an extra 20, 50, 70, 100, 200% on any potential deal for the next 12 months because Ronaldo's
was
there.
Was that
point.
Thing where he moved the, was it the Coke ball? Press conference. And he was saying that affected the stock price of Coke.
Because it was like people got a bottle of water.
And everyone was like, I don't want Coke anymore. And it was like Coke prices went down. And maybe that's why I gave a little plug to it the other day, I don't know. But yeah, it's like that is a very powerful player. And also, he could, even if in the World Cup, he scores a couple of goals, which you can do in a World Cup without being at the very top of, you know, the footballing sort of elite football, you know. That could make people, you know what?
Yeah, he's still got it.
Still, you know, the attention he'll get if he does that, everyone will go, you know what, look at the media stuff. And that's a sort of...
His value will get him a fucking
is
club.
Is it a minute?
His value. Look at Napoli are a fucking top team. When you look at them and you watch them and everything. But I think Napoli, I think Maradona straight away. And what he did for that club. And I'm not saying Ronaldo is Maradona. I personally think Maradona's the best fucking player ever. But when Maradona went there, that was like... fucking completely out of the blue. And that put that club on the map. So there might be a club out there who go, we're sort of on the map. We want to be more on the fucking social media map. This is how pathetic it is. Let's fucking get him in. And really, they're signing him for his appeal, not necessarily for the fact that he can bang goals in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear it. Have you seen the documentary, Maradona?
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. I've met him.
Have you? Really?
Listen. I'll start fucking filling up about it if I tell the story. I'm sure I've told the story somewhere.
Not on here.
He played our boys now. Am I all right going off on a tangent?
Yeah, you've been on this channel before, especially on this podcast.
Yeah.
If you remember a few years ago, he was playing that UNICEF fucking game at Old Trafford.
I was at that game.
Right, so I jibbed into that game pretending I was a fucking news reporter. So I was in like the posh seat sort of thing.
I love that. Charity game jibbed in, nice.
Yeah, yeah, I know, it's bad, isn't it? I've still got my bag with all the gear in and all that in the loft in our house. So, but I'd gone, what I said.
To donate is to fail.
Well, I saw that Maradona was going to play and I said to my missus at the time, she was my girlfriend, she's my wife now. I said, look, I'm going to this fucking game. So she said, you've never been interested in any fucking charity games and all that, you know, because it's just United or nothing for me.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know when Maradona's going to be in fucking, literally within 5 miles of our house again. So I'm going to the
I
game.
Love the way you're wording this.
So anyways, gone down to the game, watched it, and then he's played and all that. And then about, about 5 minutes before, he'd been subbed off before the end.
Yeah.
And then about 5 minutes before the end, I thought, fuck this. I stood up, I've gone. So I've gone to where, you know, the players come in and on the corner in Old Trafford. So I've seen him walking out. There's a lot of young kids around there, you know, looking for fucking Robbie Williams' signature and all that. So I've seen him come out and he's got straight into a people carrier. But then
this is outside Old Trafford.
Okay. The game's finished and all that. Right. I've gone early to make sure I could see who was coming out. The game's finished, blah, blah, blah. And I've clocked him. But there's two big UNICEF sort of branded coaches there for like the, you know, the football teams and everything. Yeah. So he's gone into people carrier. He's not got on them fucking coaches with everyone else and all the celebrities and all that. But I knew they were going to the Lowry Hotel because that's where everyone goes to the Lowry Hotel. So I'd parked something, I had an old Volkswagen Golf, I'd parked it near the cricket ground. If I tried running it now, I'd fucking die. I'd sprinted all the way down the cricket ground, jumped into my car, and I just shot straight across to the Lowry. Done a couple of red lights and all that, because I'm thinking I need to get there before these cars got there.
Yeah.
So I've got down to the Lowry. I've dumped my car like it's been nicked, honestly. Just
still rolling as you get out of it.
It literally looked like it had been nicked.
It's that bus stop just outside.
And as I've ran, because the Lowry's like, it's blocked off. You can't see the hotel, you know, from the front because there's big flats and apartments around it. So as I've got there, I've seen the buses, so the UNICEF buses and all that, with all the other celebrities on and everything. They've parked up. So I'm sort of running down the street. And, you know, these fucking Jonathan Wilkes getting off the bus and Robbie
Jamie
Williams
Feakston
and all them. Loads of fucking people around this bus, right? I'm just thinking, what the fuck? Like, Maradona's in town and you're waiting for fucking Robbie Williams. And with that, his fucking people carrier pulls up right outside the front. So I just thought, right, this is it. And I've gone down with, I had a T-shirt on under my hood there, and it's just Maradona's head on it. Just a picture of Maradona's head. I've got it framed now. And so I've ran up, I'm running down, I've fucking whipped my jumper off like that, just slung my fucking jumper on. I've got a black marker pen. I'm running up that, so I've got Diego, Diego. And he's turned around, he's got a fucking cigar, it must be that big, in his mouth. And he's with a bouncer who's easily 6.5 foot, massive. But Maradona's tiny. So I've run up the steps of the Lowry. So I said, Diego, and this bouncer just literally fucking lifted me off the floor like that. So I've gone, no, like, and I'm showing him my fucking T-shirt with his face on it. And then he said to his bouncer, put him down. And then he's come up to me. I won't grab you, but he's grabbed me cheeks like this. He's done that to me, and then he's gone and slapped me on the cheeks, took me marker off because I had it in my hand like that, and he signed me, his head on my T-shirt, and then he's put his cigar back in his mouth, and then he's just winked at me and walked in. I never had a picture because I didn't have my phone. I'd left it in my car. And he's walked in. And then as he's walked in, some other kids, when I say kids, some of my age, has come running with an Argentina top. Like I'm in my fucking 20s or something like that. He's come running with an Argentina top. And I've given me pen. And
like Maradona's,
sort of gripped hold of him, signed his shirt. And then he's just walked in. And I've stood there. I've got my fucking Diego's face on my finger. And then this lad's got his Argentina top on. And we've looked at each other, started crying, the pair of us.
I don't blame you.
Like, hugging each other. It's pathetic. Like, I've got home and told my missus, she's like, you sad bastard. And we started crying, and we're there in each other's arms. I'm fucking sobbing. Yeah. I'm so, like, it's like my fucking dog's died. I'm sobbing my fucking heart out that I met Diego Maradona. And then he's sort of gone in his way, this lad who was with his missus. And I've walked back and I've sat in my fucking car that I've just dumped. And fucking started break down again, crying my fucking eyes out because I've got... He's touched my T-shirt, he signed it, I've met him, he's fucking grabbed my cheeks and slapped him on the side, and he's had a big cigar, and it's just like, I'm fucking waffling now, you can see.
That is one of the best stories ever.
That is so good.
I've got home, I've got the T-shirt, it's never been fucking washed, I've never worn it since. I had it framed in this big black frame, and I just keep it on the fucking wall. Next to, I've got a signed Paul Scholes T-shirt as well. But that Maradona, I'll never, even if it was fucking living on the streets, it would be fucking next to me. I would never sell it.
That's so good.
I love
anyway,
that.
Genuinely.
That is a fucking... 10 out of 10 story, that, Jim. Honestly.
True story.
You went through the mill there to get that. I love the fact that you chipped into a UNICEF game as well.
Oh, no, it's terrible.
You started crying after you met Jim Davidson, didn't you?
The funny thing was, though, we was at that game, right? Me and our kid went... And one of the reasons we went was to see Maradona.
Yeah.
Not asked about all the others. And he was getting booed near us. And our kid,
daft,
right? I know our kid, I remember,
This was about 10, 15 years ago, wasn't it?
Why was he getting booed?
Because of the Ambarber in England and all that. Fuck shit,
come on, it's 30 years ago.
And our kid, I don't know if he's allowed a beer or whatever, but he can be a bit mouthy. So he's just started like kicking off with people. These fucking knobheads. Booing Maradona, get a grip of your life, you fucking idiots, and all this, right? And there's kids and all that. I'm like, fucking, what's the matter with you? And he's like, it's fucking pathetic. You're watching one of the greatest players of all time, you got fucking knobheads booing him.
It's fucking.
He's just scored a penalty against Jamie Featherstone. Get a fucking grip. And I'm like, right, all right, chill out. But I got it, because it was sad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't wait watching Maradona. Do you know what I mean?
That's why I went.
I'm not just saying this because we had a row with Ronnie, but Maradona, I've always thought when I was a kid, he was just like. Yeah. So I'm with you when you were, and I'm buzzing that you did all those things to get his autograph as well.
I wouldn't have done it for anyone else.
Yeah, brilliant.
Do you know what I mean? Everything, running red lights, jibbing in, running red lights, dumping your car. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Dodging bounces, whatever you had to do. That is just phenomenal. Like,
brilliant.
Who's the best? What's the best celebrity encounter you've ever had?
The Cantona one, obviously.
Oh, yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Well, have you interviewed him?
Tell him the story. Yeah.
Go on.
I've told this before on the show.
Fucking tell it again.
So, my ex-girlfriend had worked with Cantona before on they'd filmed a video. She worked for Paddy Power and they filmed a video with Cantona. And then about 2 years later, last year or the year before, he was in Manchester filming all stuff on the, was it Peveril or the Peak, one of it? It was
He went to school and filmed some as well.
Yeah. And it was all set up like a Nike advert or something like that. But she said, I've got his brother's number.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Joel, I think it is.
Yeah, Joel, yeah.
And he's just texting, if you're in town, we should go out for a drink or whatever, all of us. And she's like, and I was like, can I come? And she's like, obviously I'll try, but I don't know. I was like, yeah. And then she's just like, can my boyfriend come? Like, it was some little, can my kid come or something? But he says, yeah, of course, yeah. So we went to meet him at his hotel, and just the four of us just shared a bottle of wine.
Really?
And just sat around this table in the hotel, just chatting about United and France and wine and football and just all
that's
sorts.
A proper
like,
meeting.
Film, literally, 2 hours with him, just sat chatting. Him to his brother, who was asking about us, what do we do, and all this stuff, and just the best.
So you've not met him, you've fucking sat down and had a heart to heart with him.
I remember we've got a group chat, all us like from the channel, and I remember being in bed and my phone went, and I looked and it was you.
Yeah.
And you just went in the group, I just spent the night with Eric Cantona.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? And it was just fucking one of the greatest nights ever.
It's genuinely amazing. I mean, obviously it was amazing. Because he's the one for me, probably of a similar age to sort of legend ratio as you had with Maradona.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, 86 at his peak? You were six.
Same with
me. Ronaldo, fucking hell, Cantona.
Yeah.
What is he at his peak, sort of 94, 95, 96? That's when I'm 3, 4, 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
Like, remember how much my dad loved him, having the Cantona wall chart in my room. Like, he was almost above football because I never really saw him play. Yeah. I just remember how he made me feel through my dad almost.
That
was my connection to United anyway, because my dad being a United fan. So he was like above football. He was just this god rather than a real man or someone that you know. So to meet him, just chat with him and just him. And he's exactly like you want him to be as well.
It's
just
that's the risk, isn't it?
So calm, so controlled, so composed. Just not many words, but he chats and asks you about you, and he's not up his own arse above everything. He's with you, and he's fucking brilliant. He's so good.
That's
exactly what you think he'd be like.
Amazing.
Every answer is just the right amount of words.
No matter
what you ask him.
Really?
Gets me there, that me. That when you told me, and I was like, and I think Steele, someone said, didn't he? Have you had a picture with him? And you were like, no, because I didn't want
to. No, I didn't.
He's having a beer with him.
Yeah,
I tell you what I did, though. I rang my dad straight after, obviously. I rang him up till we were about at the the door of the hotel, hung up, and then rang him as soon as we got back out again. Like, and he was like, write notes, write it all down. Yeah. So I've got the notes of like what we chatted about. I don't need to read them out.
Really?
But like, I've literally got them saved because I was like, he's like, you'll forget. He's like, you'll be able to look back at that and then that'll remind you of the conversation.
Yeah.
But I've literally got the notes of what we sat and chatted about with Eric Cantona and his brother.
That's fucking amazing.
What about you, Jay? What's your top celeb encounter?
I met Richie Delight in Clinton Cards once.
Nice. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And I got him to sign my mum and dad's anniversary.
Did you?
And I remember mum going, who the fuck's
Richard in that?
But he was a lovely lad. I'm not being horrible. But interviewing Fergie, obviously, for me. His documentary premiere. And what happened was, my old radio boss, when he used to work in radio, the editor, Michelle Livesey, used to work for a radio station, said, might have something for you here. Don't want to get your hopes up, but we might have an interview with Fergie, some time with Fergie on the red carpet. With the reporter, Tom, she said, so if I can get it sorted, get you accredited, you can split the interview with him, so he'll have a couple of questions, and you can have a couple of questions. I was like, oh my God, right. So I didn't say anything, because it was like, obviously I'm nervous, and I'm like, is this going to happen? Is it going to fall through? And I was like, and I said to her, you know, obviously, if we get it, I'm going to use it for the channel. She's like, yeah, that's fine. But it was all COVID as well, so he had his tests, and he's obviously not been well. And we got there in the red carpet, and then he comes along, and I said to Tom, I said, obviously, because it's like, it was their interview first. So said, and Tom said, listen, I've got two questions. And he said, and then you can have, we had 4 minutes with him. Yeah. He said, you can have the fucking rest. So he asked him about, he said he had a hemorrhage, his brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, yeah.
And he asked him about that. And then at one point, it looked like Fergie was annoyed when he asked him, but he hadn't, he just hadn't heard him. Mm. And then he answered that and he answered something else. And then, you know, it was my turn. And I was just like, I asked him about the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup. I asked him a few other questions. But you're having that moment, there was a bit when he laughed. I had a little joke with him. And he just stood there thinking, I'm having a fucking laugh with Sir Alex Ferguson.
That's ridiculous.
Like, this is like, you know, no offence to my kids, this is the best moment of my life.
Yeah, easy.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, easily, yeah. Not even a debate.
No.
And I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And then the great thing about it was, obviously, I was so nervous and like, but, you know, enjoyed it and that. But then, you know, you got to watch it and I was like, fucking hell, do you know what I mean? It was because I'd done press conferences before with Fergie when I was in radio, but I'd always been at the back.
I've been
told, don't bother asking a question because we didn't need, like, we were just like, you just record it. You don't need to try and put your hand up and get involved. So it wasn't the same. And I'd obviously been at games and stuff, but yeah, to just sort of have that.
Have you still got that on video then?
It's on the channel.
How tall is he? I know
I don't know, because it was weird the way we were on like a, I don't know if we were on a raised bit, but it felt like they were slightly lower.
Right.
Because I think we were just on like a bit of...
I'd be
like
shitting my pants. Yeah. If I had the chance to speak to him, I'd be shitting my pants.
Professional things where you have to perform.
When Tom, the reporter, said, you know, it's, I can't remember the question. It was something like, you know, how are you feeling after the hemorrhage? How are you recovering? And he went, and he sort of, it looked like he was scowling.
Yeah.
And for that split second, I thought, oh my God, he's pissed him off.
But he
couldn't hear him. And he said, after the what, sorry? And he said, the hemorrhage, and obviously he talks about the hemorrhage in the documentary, it's not fucking secret. And he was like, oh, yeah. And he was just chatting. And it was just, and it was just fucking class. Honestly, it was.
I don't think I'd be able to ask the fucking question because I'd shit my pants.
I was mega.
I'd have to have it written down, I think.
Because if he turned around, then, you know, like you've seen him in loads of press conferences where he's flipped at someone.
Yeah.
And then if I asked him something and he did that to me, I'd be fucking devastated.
You don't, like, I remember
I'd just
once,
be devastated.
Yeah.
But you remember Bob Wilson, he's played for Arsenal?
Yeah, the kick goaler.
Yeah. He did a charity thing where he was cycling across Britain to raise money for cancer awareness or whatever. And I was interviewing him at Old Trafford. He said he's going to be at Old Trafford before the United game in the reception. He'll interview you because with our radio station, even though it was local, we could use it because it was at Old Trafford, but we share it with other stations. Yeah. So we've got Bob Wilson, ex-Arsenal goalkeeper. He's doing his campaign. So I went and interviewed him. I sat with him like me and you are. And Fergie's walked in to come and meet him. And Fergie's just like sat there.
Really?
And then obviously them two started. And I'm just like, ah.
Yeah.
And I didn't say, you know, even, oh, Sir Alex, can I just get a quick word on what Bob Wilson's doing? And I should have done, really, because he might have just gone, oh, yeah, but I thought, I don't want to fucking test. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because in case he goes, no.
Gives you the air
dryer. That's my encounter. And
you've remembered that. And
honestly,
that's
I'm
fucked
just
it
devastated
up, it?
Forever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's ruined my life. So I just thought, I'm not going to say anything. And I just sort of sat there waiting till he'd gone. Because he was obviously, it was just before a game as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I thought he might be in a bit of a rush, which he was. And then I carried on my interview. But yeah, it was fucking crazy.
Just on these notes that I took, I don't want to be able to read them, but they're the notes of the evening.
They're your Cantona notes.
Yeah. So there's like, he likes Ole, a few different bits, you know, about talking about COVID because it was 2021. Talking about how his brother played for Rochdale in the 90s.
I remember his brother, I think he was at Stockport as well, I think, for a little while. Yeah, I remember Joel.
There's loads of, like, different. And then the last bit, just two words, Eric paid. That was the last two. he got the drinks.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's so good, man. Honestly.
I offered as well. It was like, I'm Eric Cantona, what the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah. I don't need you to pay for this, but thank you. And it was nice.
That is minute. Have we got, because we're going to have to wrap up in a minute. Before we wrap up, you can do the comments. Before we do that, talk about the album that's out in February. Have we got it here? Knowledge, Freedom, Power.
Yeah, man.
By the Slow Readers Club. There's a link in the description so you can check out the song. You pre-order as well, can't you, for the
album? Yeah, you can pre-order it, on vinyl, CD, whatever. But there is one of the tunes, which is called Knowledge, Freedom, Power. It's out now on Apple Music, Spotify. There's a video on YouTube, whatever. Yeah, you know, just go check it out.
Nice.
Go and check them out. Go and have a look at the link in the description. Go and check out some of the other songs as well. It's a top band. We love having you on.
Nice one.
And Steve loves going to your concerts, even though your gigs, even though he only lasts about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But usually the first song is the best one.
He didn't make the first song last time, did he? Scrappy.
He has promised to come.
Fighting and
that. Because I was there as well.
He was there with
I think
Steve.
He'd just come out as we got kicked out. But for those 3 or 4 seconds, it was
brilliant.
Really great.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It's your own fault for going out with Stephen Allison. Get in some of the chat before we wrap up.
Bichoy Rizek says, I've watched both interviews many times and I don't think people at this channel understand what Ronnie was really trying to say. Read between the lines. My question to you, Jay, would be, should we have to read between the lines?
I can barely read on the lines, to be honest with you, let alone between the lines. Listen, we've said it, and we've all said it. Some of the things, anti-glazer stuff, yep, I'm about that. Facilities, I understand it.
Yeah.
It was the Ten Hag thing, man. I don't think that helps Manchester United.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
No. I don't think that's my issue with it. I don't think saying you don't respect the manager, saying the manager don't respect you, helps Manchester United. And also, I don't think it's necessarily true.
It sort of supersedes the other stuff he said.
Yeah.
And the focus isn't on the Glazer stuff. It's on his beef with Ten Hag.
If he'd have said...
The problem, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you. If he'd have just said that was the main bit of the Glazer stuff, we'd all be like, you know what, he's got a point, yeah, fair enough. But the Ten Hag stuff, it's just a little bit disappointing for me. And I think, you know, Ten Hag brought him back into the team after what he did against Spurs, which was out of order. Brought him back to the team, made him captain. I don't think there is an issue there where Ten Hag hasn't shown Ronaldo respect.
Even if you're giving him like a sort of 3 strikes and you're out policy, he left halfway through at Vallecano. He refused to come on a sub and left it against Spurs. You've done this interview, you're gone. Like, it's not. He can't say he's not giving him chances or he's even, you know, I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, obviously. But in terms of the public response to things we know Ronaldo has done,
yeah.
Three strikes and you're out. That's it.
Do you reckon it is at United? Do you reckon it is? Like, you've had your verbal, second verbal, now it's your written, now you're off.
Two weeks' wages.
2 weeks' wages. You know the dance.
I hope so.
Don't act like you didn't know that.
2 weeks' wages genuinely is the United's maximum punishment. Did you know that?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's actually 2 weeks' wages. Is what they're saying is the maximum they can fine him was like 900 grand.
Right.
I think
isn't
it is
that a PFA thing, though?
Maybe it is, yeah.
I think I might be wrong. I'm sure I read somewhere like, clubs, if they do more than 2 weeks,
the
PFA have got a limit
off,
or something. Because you could just.
Because it's employment, British employment law, isn't
it? I don't know.
It?
There was some. I remember when John Terry got fined off Chelsea for the I was going to say racism, but it was racism. Like the racism against Anton Ferdinand. Mm. I think he got fined 2 weeks. That was the maximum they could give him or something. And everyone was kicking off saying it should have been more. I think so, anyway. Go on, any more super chats before we wrap up? Or any more chats before we wrap up?
Yes, we've got a few people telling their sort of celebrity meetings.
Come on, let's
stories.
Have a few then before we go. You're not in a rush, are you, Jim?
No.
Go on.
Timothy Arnold, you're going to have to explain who some of these names
go
are.
Go on.
I was sat in George Eastham's yard having a barbecue with all of the old Stoke City team in 1976.
Quality.
Yeah.
Eh?
Telling me how George Eastham scored the winning goal.
Against
Gordon
Leeds.
Banks was sitting next to me. Yeah. What a gent.
Was that when he beat Leeds, I think, Stoke?
Was it?
I think they beat Leeds
That's
in the final.
Great.
Isn't that the one where Don Revie tried to bribe the Stoke manager?
Oh, I hope so.
And, you know, and he's having none of it and he beat him. I think so. Get involved in the chat in the comments if I'm wrong. Yeah. Go on, Emil.
I bet Gordon Banks is great at barbecues, though, because you can just frisbee the burger to him. You know, catch it.
Catching
like,
everything,
you know,
he's catching it.
He's not parrying anything. No. Back in those days when goalies were goalies, you know what I mean?
Same. None of them have dirty gloves on him. No, getting your meat dirty, it's a clean hand.
Do you reckon he has the balms in his hand and he's just...
Yeah.
You're dashing burgers at him and he's like, yeah, man.
Yeah. If you throw that to a modern goalie, they're parrying the burger.
Yeah, they're pushing it over the fence. What are you doing there, my burger?
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Music Ali says, my celebrity meeting was Roger Federer when I was 10 in Dubai. He's similar to Cantona in the way that he's a great guy and not a knobhead. Great guy. I'm into tennis, so that was really big. Federer, who, I don't know if he's the best ever, but he probably is.
I think
he is,
yeah. You're into tennis, aren't you?
Ish.
He does the single hand backhand, man. You can't do a double hand backhand and be the best player ever.
I don't know. I just want to say, though, can I just say, I almost let it slip under the radar. The sentence that you said earlier about, I don't know when Maradona will ever be 5 miles from the gaff again, was fucking mint.
Yeah. It's true, though. And he's never going to be there again, is he? So
it's such a great point. Right,
like, not unless you move to Argentina.
Yeah.
And you sort of live near where
he is. Which isn't happening. Yeah. But I've already told my missus, if Zidane's in town, That's me fucking next one. But not on the Maradona level, but I'd go out my way just to fucking meet him.
Yeah, that's silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that rarity as well that adds to it, isn't it? Because not only is like one of the GOATs, it's someone who's, you know, you're never going to see again.
No,
you're saying. Yeah. And like,
if you're near our house, you fucking game. You know,
like with
I'm
all of them, like Cantona, Maradona, Fergie, they're not people that are in the public eye all the time. They're not like pundits.
No, exactly. That's true. Yeah. They're not there like Gary Neville's at a game every week. Whatever.
Yeah, these people are just
human beings.
Yeah, yeah. Elite people who, if they come near you, you've got to go and try and meet them.
Yeah.
100%. Manchester Maverick says saw Kerry Katona at a Terminal 2 once. So, you know, a lot of celebrity signings.
That's mint. That.
Yeah.
She was the face of Iceland for a while, wasn't she?
Yeah, and then it was
Peter Andre.
No, I was thinking... Oh, I can't say his name anymore. Anyway, don't mind.
I don't want to know. Move on.
I was thinking of an Icelandic football player whose name really shouldn't be mentioned. You know the one.
Yes.
Is that all from us on that note?
Yeah, that is it, everything. Go and check out. I'm going to do another... In fact, you're going to do another plug here. Go on, Jim.
No,
to your camera. Can we have Jim's single?
Yeah.
There you go.
The album's out 24th February. There's a tune out called Knowledge, Freedom, Power now. Go and check it out. If you like it, great. If you don't, fair enough as well. Cheers.
You've got a thank you there that you're going
to
read.
Thank you very much to Surfshark VPN. Make sure you check out the link in the description. Use the code PADDOCK for, this is just obscene, 85% off and 3 months for free. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Basically, they're paying you to have it, so you might as well try it out. Link in the description.
Black Friday tackle, that
exactly.
Unreal, isn't it? Also, we are going to be in Dublin on the 30th of December. Me, Joe, Adam McCullough, Stephen Allison, and Brian McClare, a bona fide Manchester United legend. First ever live event at Stretford Paddock. Come down or fly over if you can get over there to Dublin on the 30th. There's a link in the chat and in the description. Come and join us. We're going to have a right laugh. It'll be mint. Also, don't forget as well, check out Slow Readers. Check out as well paddockmerch.com. We've got some good merch on there. Jim, it's always a pleasure, bro.
No, cheers. Thank you very much.
Flown back?
An hour.
An hour. Honestly. We're back tomorrow. We've got an Academy review talking about Alejandro Garnacho. And also, we'll have the news on Sunday as well. I think Mac is having the news on Sunday. So make sure you are subscribing to the channel. I've been Jay. That's been Jim. That's been Joe. This has been The Brew. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.